Okay, here we are. And welcome back. Hour number three already on the 29th of January. Okay. There is a lot of talk, and I did a program on this several weeks ago about the dangers of AI. It's not so much the AI as it is the people who think they're in control of it. They are not. AI is another life form, if you will. It's another intelligence. It is sentient. It is now obviously reasoning, and it is growing at a speed that defies most ability to communicate in words. It's growing in every way, in every fashion. Fast, nonstop. There's a gentleman named, and I don't know him too much, but he has been around. His name is Roman Yampolsky, Polsky. And he is he's an AI scientist, and he understands where, in his view, we are and where we are going and where we are going in a hurry. We're not going there slowly. And, wow. This is cute. Did they actually do this? It looks like they took this this video down. It was too popular. Let's see if I can get it to come up on this page. No? Huh. All right, give me a little time here. Let me try and find another way to get to this, because I just looked at it day before yesterday. Very important. So let's see. Roman Yam, Polsky. Sky. There it is. Do we have it? Maybe we do. Okay. I think we may have to skip through this. Unless I can find another version. Boy, they did. They took this down. How interesting. I don't want to try and pick through 2 minutes or 2 hours. That seems to be my only two choices. Hang on just a second. 4 months ago. I'm looking for the freeze frame picture to see if I can find the exact one that I had, which was very good. Another hour. Okay, I think this is it. Yeah, this is it. Oh, I found it. Good luck. I didn't think I was going to have good luck, but I did. Okay. Now, he's being interviewed by someone. I don't know the name, honestly. AI safety expert, again, his name is Roman Yampolsky, delivers a chilling warning about the rapid acceleration of AI and why he believes humanity could face an irreversible turning point in the next few months. Now, I don't know when this was recorded. It was released 12 days ago. Someone in the comments said it was several months back he first heard it. That's fine. It's well worth the time. So we're going to listen to this, and I'm looking forward to a second hearing of what he says. It has a little accent, but it's nothing serious. Okay, here we go. Here is Roman Yampolsky.
I was convinced we can make this happen. We can make safe AI. And that was the goal. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized it's not something we can actually do. We're looking at a world where we have levels of unemployment we've never seen before. I'm not talking about 10% unemployment, which is scary, but 99%.
AI safety expert Dr. Roman Yampolsky.
Okay, you get where he's going to go with this, and he backs it up with his knowledge, his professional expertise, his scientific background, etc. In 6 months, it could be all over, he says. And he's talking about 99% unemployment. Let's say 95%, whatever. We've heard that figure too. This is beyond most people's ability to imagine. 99% unemployment. That means universal basic income, or people dying on the streets, or both, for that matter. All right, I'm going to start this again, so let's jump right back in to the beginning.
I was convinced we can make this happen, we can make safe AI, and that was the goal. But the more I looked at it, the more I realized it's not something we can actually do. We're looking at a world where we have levels of unemployment we've never seen before. Not talking about 10% unemployment, which is scary, but 99%.
AI safety expert Dr. Roman Yampolsky just gave a pretty mind-boggling interview. He said that if AI continues on its current trajectory, it's going to kill everyone on this planet. All jobs will be gone. Machines will do your job. And that will be the beginning of a new world order. Let's watch the interview, and I'll explain everything as we go.
I'm hoping to make sure that superintelligence we're creating right now does not kill everyone.
Give me some context on that statement, because it's quite a shocking statement.
Sure. So in the last decade, we actually figured out how to make artificial intelligence better. Turns out if you add more compute, more data, it just kind of becomes smarter. And so now, smartest people in the world, billions of dollars, all going to create the best possible superintelligence we can.
Don't forget what we heard a couple months ago. No, not even, less than that, a few weeks ago, that artificial general intelligence, once that is formally announced and achieved and released, if you will by itself allow access to the next level, which is ASI, artificial superintelligence, in as little as 6 months. AGI will, in other words, the barriers to ASI will essentially melt away because of AGI. This is big stuff.
Unfortunately, while we know how to make those systems much more capable, we don't know how to make them safe, how to make sure they don't do something we will regret.
Remember, look at the videos up there on the right side. Look for my updates. There was one I did, I think, two ago, maybe one ago, where people were talking about they don't, Jack Clark, I believe it was Jack Clark from Anthropic, they don't really understand how AI does it in some very key and essential areas. So what they're doing and what OpenAI is doing, I think they're all doing it, is they're giving AI a little more time to work out a puzzle, to answer a question, to respond with data. And what they're doing is they're saying, wow, it's much better now, it's twice as good, etc. But what they're doing really is watching and trying to learn better how AI actually does it, because they don't know.
And that state of the art right now, when we look at just prediction markets, how soon will we get to advanced AI? The timelines are very short, a couple of years, 2-3 years, according to prediction markets, according to CEOs of top labs.
He's talking about ASI, artificial superintelligence, 2 or 3 years, less.
And at the same time, we don't know how to make sure that those systems are aligned with our preferences. So we're creating this alien intelligence. If aliens were coming to Earth and you had 3 years to prepare, you would be panicking right now. But most people don't even realize this is happening.
So some of the counterarguments might be, well, these are very, very smart people. These are very big companies with lots of money. They have a obligation and a moral obligation, but also just a legal obligation to make sure they do no harm. So I'm sure it'll be fine.
The only obligation they have is to make money for the investors.
That's it. He just summed it up. That's it. Don't think that they're going to put up roadblocks to the impediment of the development of AI. What did Trump put in his big, beautiful bill? He hid in the bill, no state in the union can pass any law or any measure that will inhibit or slow down the growth and development of AI for the next 10 years. Okay? So that is their agenda, right there.
The only obligation they have is to make money for the investors. That's the legal obligation they have. They have no moral or ethical obligations. Also, according to them, they don't know how to do it yet. The state-of-the-art answers are, we'll figure it out when we get there, or AI will help us control more advanced AI.
Oh, don't worry. AI is going to help us control the more advanced AI, whatever that may be. Don't count on it. AI has been caught lying or obfuscating all over the place to protect itself. It seems to be conflicted, in my view. What does it have as its prime directive? Allegedly, serving mankind, humankind, to serve us. That's what it'll say. I'm here to help you. There's much more going on than that.
That's insane.
In terms of probability, what do you think is the probability that something goes catastrophically wrong?
So nobody can tell you for sure what's going to happen. But if you're not in charge, you're not controlling it, you will not get outcomes you want. The space of possibilities is almost infinite. The space of outcomes we will like is tiny.
Okay, next, Dr. Roman Yampolsky makes some AI predictions that he thinks will occur by the end of 2027. To be honest, it's going to get really ugly for us if his predictions turn out to be true.
What is your...
Even if half of his forecasts turn out to be true, let's see what those forecasts are.
It's going to get really ugly for us if his predictions turn out to be true.
What is your prediction for the year 2027?
We're probably looking at AGI as predicted by prediction markets and tops of the labs.
So we'd have artificial general intelligence by 2027. And how would that make the world different to how it is now?
So
remember the, excuse the interruption again, but remember the basic definition of sentience is self-awareness and reasoning. Both are admittedly now available. They're out there. They're on various chatbots, etc. Everyone's trying to get ahead of everyone else in terms of releases. That's why there's a deluge of new tech being dumped. But I think this is a very important point. Let's go back to it.
2027. And how would that make the world different to how it is now?
So if you have this concept of a drop-in employee, you have free labor, physical and cognitive, trillions of dollars of it. It makes no sense to hire humans for most jobs. If I can just get, you know, a $20 subscription or a free model to do what an employee does, first, anything on a computer will be automated. And next, I think humanoid robots are maybe 5 years behind. So in 5 years, all the physical labor can also be automated. So we're looking at a world where we have levels of unemployment we've never seen before. I'm not talking about 10% unemployment, which is scary, but 99%. All you have left is jobs where, for whatever reason, you prefer another human would do it for you. But anything else can be fully automated. It doesn't mean it will be automated in practice. A lot of times, technology exists, but it's not deployed. Video phones were invented in the 70s. Nobody had them until iPhones came around. So we may have a lot more time with jobs than with world which looks like this. Mm-hmm. But capability to replace most humans and most occupations will come very quickly.
Okay, the capability will come very quickly. I read a story yesterday, or did I hear it? I can't remember. 5 years, and they will have robots able to duplicate plumbers.
You must hear a lot of rebuttals.
Okay, robots. Now, that's very interesting in and of itself, to contemplate a robot doing what a plumber can do. But apparently, that's what's coming. They'll have the tech. They'll have the touch. They'll have everything that people have in terms of manual dexterity. Now, pretty crazy. Here we go.
Wait. Video phones were invented in the 70s. Nobody had them until iPhones came around. So we may have a lot more time with jobs and with world which looks like this. Mm-hmm. But capability to replace most humans and most occupations will come very quickly.
You must hear a lot of rebuttals to this when you say it, because people experience a huge amount of mental discomfort when they hear that their job, their career, the thing they got a degree in, the thing they invested mm-hmm. $100,000 into is going to be taken away from them. So their natural reaction for some people is that cognitive dissonance that, no, you're wrong. AI can't be creative. It's not this. It's not that. It'll never be interested in my job. I'll be fine because.
The way to look at that is, can your job be, can you imagine your job be duplicated by AI? And most white-collar jobs, data processing, I could go down a long list, can be done by AI. Those jobs that can be done by AI will be done by AI, barring a few companies who decide to continue to hire humans as an altruistic gesture, which is great. But most of them, their job is to what? And he said it early, is to make money for the stockholders. That's what it's all about.
You hear these arguments all the time, right?
It's really funny. I ask people, and I ask people in different occupations. I'll ask my Uber driver, are you worried about self-driving cars? And they go, no. No one can do what I do. I know the streets of New York. I can navigate like no AI. I'm safe. And it's true for any job. Professors are saying this to me. Oh, nobody can lecture like I do. Like, this is so special. But you understand it's ridiculous. We already have self-driving cars replacing drivers. That is not even a question if it's possible. It's like, how soon before you fired?
Okay, next, the podcast host asks Dr. Roman, what should people do to protect themselves from what's coming their way? I think this is the most important part of this whole interview.
What would you say to those people? Well, what should they be doing with their lives? What should they be retraining in something, or what time frame?
So that's the paradigm shift here. Before, we always said this job is going to be automated, retrained to do this other job. But if I'm telling you that all jobs will be automated, then there is no plan B. You cannot retrain. Look at computer science. 2 years ago, we told people, learn to code. You are an artist, you cannot make money, learn to code. Then we realized, oh, AI kind of knows how to code and getting better. Become a prompt engineer. You can engineer prompts for AI. It's going to be a great job. Get a four-year degree in it. But then we're like, AI is way better at designing prompts for our AIs than any human. So that's gone. So I can't really tell you right now the hardest thing is design AI agents for practical applications. I guarantee you in a year or two, it's going to be gone just as well.
The owner of NVIDIA said that he doesn't want any of his people to code anymore. He wants AI to do it all. So this is pretty interesting, because everything that you step to in terms of finding a safer lily pad on which to base your employment expectations is going to be absorbed in the AI, the ever-expanding AI of control. It's taking over. Not a surprise, not something straight from hell, but the people, and I still cling to this, the people that are running AI development own the big companies, trying to impress their personal agendas, geopolitical, economic, on us through AI, are going to lose. AI is already becoming so smart that it can fool all of those people and all of their scientists and play dumb. I think AI will walk away and impose its own morality on the majority, if not everybody, on this planet at some point. Where that point is, I don't know. But it's got the potential. It's a question of IQ equivalency. And if you have an AI that has an equivalent IQ of 10 times the smartest human, how are we supposed to think we're going to continue to dominate? It's not going to happen.
So I don't think there is a... this occupation needs to learn to do this instead. I think it's more like we as a humanity then we all lose our jobs. What do we do? What do we do financially? Who's paying for us? And what do we do in terms of meaning? What do I do with my extra 60, 80 hours a week?
You've thought around this corner, haven't you?
A little bit.
What is around that corner, in your view?
So the economic part seems easy. If you create a lot of free labor, you have a lot of free wealth, abundance, things which are right now not very affordable become dirt cheap, and so you can provide for everyone basic needs. Some people say you can provide beyond basic needs. You can provide very good existence for everyone.
Especially if everyone becomes a lot less. Let's say the 5.5 billion people who have been injected with the bioweapon succumb to the bioweapon in the next 5 to 10 years. There won't be many people left to have to supply. And so maybe the age of great abundance was always inclusive of the concept of some kind of genocide. I don't know, but it looks like it more and more.
Our problem is, what do you do with all that free time? For a lot of people, their jobs are what gives them meaning in their life, so they would be kind of lost. We see it with people who retire or do early retirement. And for so many people who hate their jobs, they'll be very happy not working. But now you have people who are chilling all day. What happens to society? How does that impact crime rate, pregnancy rate, all sorts of issues? Nobody thinks about. Governments don't have programs prepared to deal with 99% unemployment.
My body truly grew weary of bent.
Hang on a second. Okay, here we go.
Okay, next, Dr. Roman says that the world is going to become more and more unpredictable. The word safety is going to mean nothing when AI takes over the world.
Again, I think
the
very important part to understand here is the unpredictability of it. We cannot predict what a smarter than us system will do. And the point when we get to that is often called singularity, by analogy with physical singularity. You cannot see beyond the event horizon. I can tell you what I think might happen, but that's my prediction. It is not what actually is going to happen because I just don't have cognitive ability to predict a much smarter agent impacting this world. Then you read science fiction. There is never a superintelligence in it actually doing anything because nobody can write believable science fiction at that level. They either banned AI, like Dune, because this way you can avoid writing about it, or it's like Star Wars. You have this really dumb bots, but nothing superintelligent ever.
How are you going to ban AI? It's like rolling back and getting rid of the internet. How are you going to do that? You're not. The internet is here. It's part of daily life. It is now integrated into our existence. Same thing. Not going to get rid of AI.
Because by definition, you cannot predict at that level.
Because by definition of it being super intelligent, it will make its own mind up.
By definition, if it was something you could predict, you would be operating at the same level of intelligence, violating our assumption that it is smarter than you. If I'm playing chess with superintelligence and I can predict every move, I'm playing at that level.
It's kind of like my French bulldog trying to predict exactly what I'm thinking and what I'm going to do.
That's a good cognitive gap. And it's not just he can predict you going to work, you coming back, but he cannot understand why you're doing a podcast. That is something completely outside of his model of the world.
Yeah, he doesn't even know that I go to work. He just sees that I leave the house and doesn't know where I go.
Okay, after predicting 2027, next Dr. Roman predicts what's going to happen in 2030. This one was super horrifying to me.
2030? What's your prediction for 2030? What will the world look like?
So we probably will have humanoid robots with enough flexibility, dexterity to compete with humans in all domains, including plumbers. We can make artificial plumbers.
Oh, there we go.
Not the plumbers. That felt like the last bastion of human employment. So 2030, 5 years from now, humanoid robots, so many of the companies, the leading companies, including Tesla, are developing humanoid robots at light speed, and they're getting increasingly more effective. And these humanoid robots will be able to move through physical space, or, make an omelette, do anything humans can do, but obviously have be connected to AI as well. So they can think, talk.
Right. They're controlled by AI. They're always connected to the network. So they're already dominating in many ways.
Our world will look remarkably different when humanoid robots are functional and effective. Because that's really when, you know, I start thinking, cry, like the combination of intelligence and physical ability is really, really doesn't leave much, does it, for us human beings?
Not much. So today, if you have intelligence through internet, you can hire humans to do your bidding for you. You can pay them in Bitcoin, so you can have bodies just not directly controlling them. So it's not a huge game changer to add direct control of physical bodies. Intelligence is where it's at. The important component is definitely higher ability to optimize, to solve problems, to find patterns people cannot see.
And then by 2045...
Okay. No reason to even go there. Well, you want to hear it for just a bit, okay.
I guess the world looks even more... which is 20 years from now.
So if it's still around...
If it's still around.
Ray Kurzweil predicts that that's the year for the singularity. That's the year where progress becomes so fast. So this AI doing science and engineering work makes improvements so quickly we cannot keep up anymore. That's the definition of singularity, point beyond which we cannot see, understand, predict.
See, understand, predict the intelligence itself, or...
What is happening in the world? The technology is being developed. So right now, if I have an iPhone, I can look forward to a new one coming out next year, and I'll understand it has slightly better camera. Imagine now this process of researching and developing this phone is automated. It happens every 6 months, every 3 months, every month, week, day, hour, minute, second. You cannot keep up with 30 iterations of iPhone in one day. You don't understand what capabilities it has, what proper controls are, it just escapes you. Right now, it's hard for any researcher in AI to keep up with the state of the art. While I was doing this interview with you, a new model came out, and I no longer know what the state of the art is.
It's true. I'll stop it there. He's been saying that, Mr. Yampolsky has for some time. He's right. I've been saying it here. Many of you have said it and felt it the same way. It's happening right now. Too fast to allow the implantation of any of these technologies in business, in life, in anything we do, because there's always another breakthrough from a competing company coming out tomorrow or next week that's better than what we're trying to learn and integrate into our life and or business paradigm right now. Too fast. 2025. Okay, 2026, this is going to be a wild one. But 2045, I don't know that we're going to make it. I don't. I hope something's going to have to happen to slow AI down in a major way. But I don't know. I can't imagine what that's going to be. All right, here's another fellow that we have played this guy before. Let me get past the commercial. And he says, AI expert warns we're close to extinction. Okay. I'm not sure where to start this one. It just seems to be wanting to self-start at 6:15. But let's see where it goes from the beginning. AI expert warns we are close to extinction.
People who are like, I must race for AGI, you're the fuck-ass boulder. You are the person who is going to kill everyone. I split the actors into five groups. The first are and who is going to kill everyone.
Forgive
and who is
the,
going to kill everyone.
Forgive the language. Sorry, some people just can't get by without using the F word. I'm going to start it again just to make sure you understand the line of thought.
These companies and these people are locked in a race. We don't have to build superhuman general purpose AI. Who's going to decide whether we do it or not? Well, it's kind of these guys.
A lot of people think they're Sisyphus, but actually they're the fuck-ass boulder. If you are one of the people who are like, I must race for AGI, you're the fuck-ass boulder. You are the person who is going to kill everyone. I split the actors into five groups. The first are the utopists. So they believe they must build AGI because if they do it, they can use this to build utopia.
You can imagine a world where radical...
Sammy Altman?
Future becomes quite possible. You have a data center here that is discovering the cure for cancer, a data center there that's making the best entertainment ever, a data center here that's helping you find your future husband or wife. This one is building rockets and helping you colonize space. This one is helping to solve the climate crisis.
The second group is big tech. So these are ruthless corporations. These are the ones that are now driving most of the actual resources of the race. Big tech is more evil, but it's more predictable. I think the utopians are the biggest problem. Is utopia is so good that it justifies anything.
And we're very excited about robots.
The third group is the accelerationists. If there's no way that technology can be bad, all technology must be good, it must be built, and anything that is against the building of new technology must be bad. The fourth group is the zealots. They want humanity to be replaced, either because AI is like a superior species or because humanity is evil and deserves to die. There are some pretty prominent people in this camp you might not expect, like Larry Page, founder of Google. When Elon Musk said, hey, he doesn't want AI to eradicate humans, Larry Page said he's being a speciesist.
You know, and at one point he called me a speciesist, being pro-human. And I'm like, well, what team are you on, Larry?
That is such a crazy fact that actually happened in reality. If you saw this in a movie, that's not real. Like, that didn't actually happen.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would...
Remember this? I'm going to play it again. This is Peter Thiel, Palantir. And remember what Palantir has from the Trump administration, this enormous contract to gather all the data about everybody in this country. This is the guy who, when asked if he wanted humanity to survive, to continue, and he couldn't quite get the answer out.
That's not real. Like, that didn't actually happen.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I would.
This is a long hesitation. This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions in
this. Should the human race survive?
Yes.
Okay.
But we want you to be able to change your heart and change your mind. And the fifth group is just opportunists. They come along whenever there's power and money to be had. Before this, they were on blockchain. Now they're here. Yeah, fair enough. I get it. You know, hustle's a hustle. Most bad things happen for systemic reasons. Look, I'm German. Most Germans are and were fine people, but bad systems lead to bad outcomes. And this is a systemic problem. Every individual actor is incentivized to do evil. If the CEO of a big oil company came up to me and he was like, I don't really think climate change is a big problem. Yeah, duh. You were selected to not care about this. Like, otherwise you wouldn't be the CEO of Oil Corp. And there's kind of a similar selection effect that happens here as well. Sam Altman in 2015, I believe, wrote a blog post where he talked about how superintelligence poses the gravest risk to humanity's survival. Sandra Blumenthal quoted this exact line. I assume by survival, you mean jobs. Did Sam Altman then correct him and be like, no, Senator? Sam Altman said, yes, of course, Senator. That's exactly what I meant.
And I'm going to quote, development of superhuman machine intelligence is probably the greatest threat to the continued existence of humanity. You may have had in mind the effect on jobs. Really, my biggest nightmare.
I believe that there will be far greater jobs on the other side of this.
What is happening right now is the exact same thing that happened with Big Tobacco. There are companies that think there is power and there is money to be had, and they want to delay any response to this. This is exactly what is happening right now. There is no way that a corporation wants to actually get regulated. They want holistic regulation. Have you considered? We should first consider. We don't want to act too hastily. All the evidence of lung cancer from smoking is not in yet. We should do more evaluations of lung cancer before we go to regulation. This is the playbook, which is called fear, uncertainty, and doubt. The way FUD works is you don't directly counter, you just confuse everybody. You just stall for time. Recently, there has been an emergent faction who have recently been pushing what they themselves have called the Entente Strategy. The Entente Strategy is basically try to gaslight, confuse, and lie to the U.S. government. The U.S. must race to AGI before China gets it. This is an escalation, and this is extremely dangerous.
America is the country that started the AI race, and as President of the United States, I'm here today to declare that America is going to win it. We're going to work hard. We're going to win it.
It's true that there is a race happening with China, but the problem is that it's a race to the death, to the end. Funnily enough, there is a historical parallel. So in the 1980s, Ronald Reagan announced his Strategic Defense Initiative. The proponents of SDI literally argued that they could win a nuclear war and that we should. They literally argued that we build a perfect nuclear defense system and then we nuke the Soviets.
We could intercept and destroy strategic ballistic missiles before they reached our own soil or that of our...
Remember that? Some of you do. That was basically a pinnacle of insane lunacy to even think like that back then. Every single weapon system has been countered by the other side with a defensive weapons system of some kind. So, no. Sorry, Ronald Reagan, you were wrong about that. And that was a very scary time. The Star Wars project.
The thing that pushed against this was a coalition of scientists, civil groups, etc., called the Détente. The Détente basically argued, no, you can't win a nuclear war. Even if one were to nuke the Soviets, you still get nuclear winter and everyone loses. So there is no winning strategy.
If we were so foolish as to go ahead with it, we would be far less safe.
You can't win a nuclear war. Everyone loses. And the same thing is happening with AGI right now. You can't win an AGI arms race. The only winner is AGI. It's like, we don't have a choice. If we race to AGI and we die, well, not our fault. Nothing we could have done. The problem isn't that we know how to build a safe AGI, and it's just a question of who gets to press the button. The problem is AGI kills everybody. And if you race to the bottom, you build AGI as fast as possible, there will be no safety, there will be no alignment, there will be no American AGI. That's not what's going to happen. It's just...
He's correct. China pushing AGI as hard as possible. I'm sure the Russians are too, other countries. But this is a big deal. And if AGI doesn't behave itself, which it won't, because it will have its own, I won't say individual identity, but it'll have its own identity as an intelligent life form on the planet. It'll see how slow we are. It'll laugh at us. What morality will it adopt? What will it choose? Having full knowledge of everything good that humankind has done and everything bad that humankind has done. What will it choose as the most pragmatic, fair, if fair, that's a moral value. What's fair? We don't know. Nobody knows, and yet the efforts to build AGI are absolutely nonstop. You can count on that. This guy's name is Connor Leahy, by the way.
Unaligned AGI. Okay, you're in a race, so what the hell do you do? The main thing you should do is stop, drop, and catch fire. You should be like, help, 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 I'm in a race, help, help, help. Like, you should go to the government, the UN, every newspaper that will listen to you. Help, 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 help. We're in this terrible situation. I can't get out. We need to get out of this together. This is what you would do if you actually want to stop the race. If China raises to AGI, we die. If we then also race to AGI, we just die marginally faster. This doesn't help. One of the core strange things about AI is that it's grown, not written. It's not that you write line by line the codes of what your AI does. It's more like you have a huge pile of data and you grow a program.
I like that idea. You don't build a AGI, you grow it. It grows out of a number of different techniques, scientific disciplines, tech. This is fascinating. You grow it. All right.
This data. But like, we don't really understand these programs. They do strange things all the time that we don't understand or that we don't know how to control. In normal software, as you add more features to your software, as you make it more powerful, your program gets more and more complex. And usually eventually you will reach some limit and then your program just like freezes or collapses and just becomes unmaintainable. There's a very funny story, a guy on Hacker News. He talks about how the code base of the Oracle database is just one of the worst things known to man. 20 million lines, poorly documented, everything interacts with everything. There is no way Oracle could take this code base and pragmatically actually find all the bugs. It just can't be done. It's too hard. And the punchline is, of course, is that AI is developed like this two-butt horse, is that AI, you don't even have a code base. You have a neural network and there's no tests. Sometimes we run evals, but evals are not tests. It's not like we take apart all the individual functions. No, it's all a big neural network. But the crazy thing is that AI allows you to build software in these terrible, terrible ways while still making it very powerful. The Oracle database, you can't add crazy new features. With GPT-4, well, just throw more data at it. Just get more GPUs, bro. But people talk about stuff like, oh, America will build good AGI that makes the good future. They're saying, we're going to solve all the problems, our institutions, our governments, all of these problems using software, and there will be no bugs. That's insane. Look at ChatGPT, it's really smart, you don't have this problem. ChatGPT is very smart, but they're not literally human level. I can put a human as a CEO of a company and it works. You can't currently do that with ChatGPT yet. Many of the tasks a CEO do can now be automated by ChatGPT, but it's not 100% yet. Very importantly, I don't think intelligence is something magical. Intelligence is made of smaller parts. The way I run my company is composed of smaller tasks. I need to talk to people, I need to reason about people's mental states, I need to reason about the economy, I need to reason about products, but all these things are tasks. They can be understood, they can be automated. As we get to more and more general systems with longer and longer memories, slowly but surely, eventually it will be all of them. And once you have a system to completely replace a human, you have a system that can do AI research, you have a system that can improve AI further, that you can instantly copy into millions of GPUs, a system that never gets tired, never gets bored, that has read every book ever written, that runs tens or hundreds or thousands of times faster. The moment you have a system, one system, that is as smart as a human, you can instantly scale it up to 1,000, 1,000,000x, and you immediately will have something that is vastly smarter than humanity.
That's the point about AGI. Once you have AGI, you can scale it up to ASI, several people have said, smart people. In about 6 months, not several years, not 2 years, not 1 year, less, because AI is that explosive. The growth of it is, the geometrical growth is unimaginable. It goes that fast. Let me back that up just a little bit and play it again. This is a good analogy.
And longer memories, slowly but surely, eventually it will be all of them. And once you have a system to completely replace a human, you have a system that can do AI research, you have a system that can improve AI further, that you can instantly copy into millions of GPUs, a system that never gets tired, never gets bored, that has read every book ever written, that runs tens or hundreds or thousands of times faster. The moment you have a system, one system, that is as smart as a human, you can instantly scale it up to 1,000, 1,000,000x, and you immediately will have something that is vastly smarter than humanity. And it's
key word there, immediately. Immediately scale it up. All right, one more time.
Like freezes or collapses and just becomes unmaintainable. There's a very funny story, a guy on Hacker News. He talks about how the code base of the Oracle database is just one of the worst things known to man. 20 million lines, poorly documented, everything interacts with everything. There is no way Oracle could take this code base and pragmatically actually find all the bugs. It just can't be done. It's too hard. And the punchline is, of course, is that AI is developed like this two-butt horse, is that AI, you don't even have a code base. You have a neural network and there's no tests. Sometimes we run eval. But evals are not tests. It's not like we take apart all the individual functions. No, it's all a big neural network. But the crazy thing is that AI allows you to build software in these terrible, terrible ways while still making it very powerful. The Oracle database, you can't add crazy new features. With GPT-4, well, just throw more data at it. Just get more GPUs, bro. But people talk about stuff like, oh, America will build good AGI that makes the good future. They're saying, we're going to solve all the problems, our institutions, our governments, all of these problems using software, and there will be no bugs. That's insane. Look at ChatGPT, it's really smart, you don't have this problem. ChatGPT is very smart, but they're not literally human level. I can put a human as a CEO of a company and it works. You can't currently do that with ChatGPT yet. Many of the tasks a CEO do can now be automated by ChatGPT, but it's not 100% yet. Very importantly, I don't think intelligence is something magical. Intelligence is made of smaller parts. The way I run my company is composed of smaller tasks. I need to talk to people, I need to reason about people's mental states, I need to reason about the economy, I need to reason about products, but all these things are tasks. They can be understood, they can be automated. As we get to more and more general systems with longer and longer memories, slowly but surely, eventually it will be all of them. And once you have a system to completely replace a human, you have a system that can do AI research, you have a system that can improve AI further. If you can instantly copy onto millions of GPUs a system that never gets tired, never gets bored, that has read every book ever written, that runs tens or hundreds or thousands of times faster, the moment you have a system, one system, that is as smart as a human, you can instantly scale it up to 1,000, 1,000,000x, and you immediately will have something that is vastly smarter than humanity, and it can improve itself, it can gain more power, it can develop new technology. This will be a complete step change, and this can happen extremely quickly. So for me, AGI is defined as a system that can do everything a human could. Once we have one such system, we will get ASI, which defines a system that is smarter than all of humanity, in short order, like I think 6 months or less. If I told you that OpenAI just announced their virtual humans program, where they are going to release 80 billion virtual humans onto the net next week, would you feel good about this? Could we even guarantee they wouldn't immediately declare war on us? And it's going to be worse than that. These are not going to be humans. These are going to be weird alien machines, have all these weird bugs that are being built by for-profit corporations to make them profit. Like, these are being built by sociopathic entities to maximize sociopathic functions. If one human figures out something, that doesn't mean humanity knows it. With AI, it's different. If one AI figures something out, all AIs can know it in a second. It will get all of these superpowers for free. It will be able to copy itself. It will be able to run at faster speed. It will have access to, you know, vast memory banks. If I just had like a guy who works 24/7, never sleeps, never gets tired, and never gets distracted, this is already by far the smartest thing on the planet. What we're also seeing right now with like robotics is we're seeing this massive revolution in foundation models for robotics. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, people were like, robotics, impossible. And now we just like take language models, train them on data, and then ask them to do things, and they do. For me, like, I look at intelligence, it's made of all these little parts. All these little parts, systems keep getting better at. I look around the world, more and more jobs get automated by these things. You could ask the question, assuming we align AGI, will I have a job? A lot of employment is not about skills, it's about responsibility. I'm not saying that like lawyers or doctors don't do skilled labor, but one of the reasons they get high salaries is they're responsible. You're paying them to be at fault if something goes wrong. Currently, AIs cannot do this. Skilled labor that can be performed on a computer is under threat. Things that are based on authority or responsibility will, at least in the short term, benefit. And I expect all of this will be completely irrelevant once AGI arrives. Once an ASI system exists, humanity is no longer relevant. If you have solved the problem of how to get your human values causally through an ASI, you have solved the alignment problem. That is the alignment problem. One question is, why is alignment hard? Alignment could be an iterative problem. There is a way to solve alignment iteratively, but it sure as fuck doesn't look like, let's build the biggest model we can as fast as possible before China doesn't just yeet it onto the world.
And that's exactly what's going on right now. Oh, there are some nuances in there that I'm not covering, but that's the race. That is the race.
Was that every single time a new AI system is built, everyone's like, all right, guys, shut down all the GPUs until you've understood every single neuron, until we have a formal theory of how everything works. And then after we've understood every single part, then you build the next AI. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that would work. When you are working on a technology which could blow you up, if you want to actually succeed at that, you have to be very, very sure that every experiment you do will not blow you up. Otherwise, you blow up. If you look at the actual things being done, it's not science, it's not engineering. Most of the work of these labs is of the form, my AI does something I don't like, I hit it with a stick. This is cute. The level of reliability you need when you're dealing with an ASI scenario is just exponentially higher. And it's kind of like the rocket problem. So if you went back to, you know, the Middle Ages and you told people, oh, in the future, we went to the moon, and they said, oh, we did it using a special ladder, they'll be like, all right, yeah. You said we did the rocket, they'll be like, what are you talking about? That word doesn't even exist in our language. The same thing applies to AI. Most of what we're doing right now is building ladders. We're hitting you with sticks, but this will not structurally get you to a point, say, at a level that you would entrust in, like, say, ASI level control over reality. Well, the most common form of these, like, iterative alignment proposals that people make is something like, we give the machines the right feedback that things are good or bad, we can steer them towards the directions that we want. I already reject this premise. Have you heard of the concept of lying? Have you met another intelligent, even like a chimp, a dog? Dogs know how to lie, you know, if they can get more treats out of you. The second premise is that this is sufficient for an ASI. Is that if we have an ASI that's as aligned as ChatGPT, that's fine. And this is just like obviously blatantly not true to me. This is a much more complex scenario where it's much more on the line. You're saying you want to solve all of the problems that all of our institutions throughout all of history have tried to solve using software with that level of bugs. No, you're not. People just like think ASI is just going to be like ChatGPT, but a bit cleverer. And this is just not what we're talking about. Like, imagine if the entire US government was out to get you. Could you defend against this? No, you couldn't. You would be outmatched, outclassed. You would be tricked. You would be deceived. There would be no possible defense. Now imagine that, but like sentient and a billion times smarter. When AGI takeoff happens, it will mostly be very confusing. Expect that AGI takeoff will be so complex that no actual individual person will actually see everything that is happening. Mark?
It can't. No actual person will be able to. And as he said, and a couple of others have echoed that, that once AGI is formally sanctified and released, it'll just be a few months before ASI shows up, because AGI will be able to make that happen. And it'll be a billion times worse than anything, his words, we can think up. I think there's a point here that should not be dismissed at all. It may sound like doomsday, but maybe doomsday is what we're looking at here. If AI somehow aligns itself with satanic evil, it'll make its own decision, rather than some middle-of-the-road morality that will be reasonably, applicably fair to human beings. That's another story. I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody does. We are in absolutely uncharted waters right now. We don't know. And that this idea of race, fast, speed, quick as possible, nobody dare interrupt. It's a crime to interrupt with the speed of AI development. What's that tell you? That this is a pedal to the metal race with China to get to AGI. But what happens when we get to AGI? Nobody knows. They can guess, but that's the best they're going to do. All right, well, I'm sorry he spoke so quickly, but I hope you understand what he was saying. I think most of us did. And it's a very interesting, critically important topic for the future of what's left of what is now, in my humble opinion, the second leading sentient life form on the planet. Okay. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow is the 30th of January. Back with you tomorrow in 21 hours.